You're tuned into Minocqua's Beast, UHF Channel 69, the Northwood's number one public access TV station. Minocqua's Beast is proud to present live coverage of the 1988 New Year's Eve ball drop with your host, Fritz Chedworth and Dick Stimke.
Fritz Chedworth coming to you live from the 1988 New Year's Eve ball drop here in Minocqua, Wisconsin. I'm joined here by legendary online forum shit poster and broadcast legend Dick Stimke.
Fritz, thank you for having me here at the 88 ball drop. It's so exciting to be here.
It's going to be an amazing evening.
An amazing evening. It is star-studded and studded with stars, but fortunately most people are out of town, so I picked up some new lawn and garden equipment.
That's great, Dick. Listen, let's get started here right off the top. Let's describe what the ball drop is for those of those who don't know what it is.
Oh, I got word coming in. We got to do that right after a word from our sponsors.
When I've got minor arthritis pain, I need help. So I turn to the warming power of Bengay. Bengay's got warming power I apply right where it hurts. I rub in Bengay and feel that glorious warming power really deep, drawing the pain right out for hours of relief.
Oh, Fritz, I really appreciate Bengay showing out the cash. What do you think of that Bengay there, Fritz?
Well, you can rub it all over and never get tired of that warm, fuzzy feeling. Let me tell you that.
Bengay, how long? Oh, but we got the mayor of Minocqua, Wisconsin, Tom Ruta Sr. here.
This is Tom Ruta, senior mayor of Minocqua. This year, the city really took a beating on our tax revenue after the Smithies declared independence and became their own sovereign nation state. So we really couldn't afford to do a proper ball drop. But fortunately, after some Hunger Games-style competition, Freddie Mercury Palermo was chosen to be the ball this year. With a few donations from the Muskie community, we covered him in flashaboo, spoons, and bucktails. I think he looks amazing. Special thanks to our political donor, Big Ricky's Guns and Used Furniture, for providing the rope strong enough to hang Fred for the ball drop.
Fritz, I think he looks amazing. What an amazing tribute this year in Minocqua.
It's a good one. He looks like an amazing big glowing orb. It's beautiful.
I've not seen more silver flash than when Liberace was on the Lawrence Welk show last week.
This is a spectacular event. I'm glad we are in living color broadcasting tonight from the glorious city of Minocqua. And now a word from another sponsor.
Tonight, before you go to bed, make an inspection tour of your icebox. How's that Pabst Blue Ribbon supply holding out? Got enough bottles and cans? Remember, tomorrow's the beginning of a relaxing weekend. You'll be entertaining guests or listening to the radio or just getting that hungry, thirsty feeling when you want a snack of cheese and crackers topped off with a tall, cool foamer of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Tomorrow morning when your dealer says, "What did you have?" say, "Pabst Blue Ribbon. What else?"
Thank you, Pabst, for bringing us this 1988 live coverage of the ball drop. I'm here with Fritz Chedworth. What a wonderful night. We're seconds away from 1989, Fritz.
Dick, I mean, just think about it. The children are gathered, all the folks. They're eating crackers. Oh, they're having a good old time here.
It's
waiting
beautiful.
For the ball drop.
Here we come. We're seconds away. I've got my Casio watch pulled up right here. Here it
the
comes.
The countdown is beyond exciting.
Here it comes. Oh, here seconds it comes. Away.
Here it comes.
10. 9. A-O.
Oh, no. I think he's entangled in the rug. Look at that. It's got him by the neck.
He's like a wild.
This is not good. I think he's hurt. He's turned on. This is not good. He's flipping around.
The children are screaming.
The orb is going down. It's all scary. This is not good.
No.
Dick! No!
That concludes our live coverage of the 1988 Minocqua Ball Drop.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast, Jay Bird.
Hey, Steve.
What are you going to be doing at midnight?
What? Probably sleeping?
I'm there with you.
I don't know yet.
The one day, you know, I was telling
some guys on the boat, they're like, what do you do for New Year's Eve? I go, I stay home. So I've got a solid rule, Jay. New Year's Eve, Cinco de Mayo, and St. Patty's Day. I don't leave the house. So
don't go driving around.
You know, yeah, I've been drunker on October 3rd than most people will be on New Year's Eve. It's just like, pick a random day.
There's plenty of opportunities out there.
Right, exactly. There's 365. The one day, the morons, they go have their dollar Ritas at Applebee's and get pulled over. Not interested.
not interested. But hey, I mean, was it great hearing from Dick Stemke again?
It was a blast from the past. It's a shame his passing. I looked at the obit the other day. If you've not seen the obit for Dick Stemke, look up Dick Stemke in the Lakeland Times. They were kind enough this July to run his obit. And, you know, I'll say this.
Shingles kills.
It will take you down. I mean, you laugh it off. You've seen the Terry Bradshaw commercial. You're like, ha, ha, ha. No. Dead. Mm-hmm. Death sentence. If you get shingles, death sentence. I'm not a doctor. Don't take my advice on that. Don't give your stuff away. Anyway, Jay, how was your Christmas?
Christmas was amazing. I know you guys had a great time, too.
We have a massive Christmas Eve party at my mother's. It's kind of miraculous and lots of shenanigans. I had fun. I cracked the stratosphere of what I'm able to have in Pepsi's. I crossed the threshold into delirium.
Wonderful.
It was great. I had a great time. I don't know what anybody else thought, but I was down. I was having a fun time. Nobody was mad. So that's going on. Man, stuff for the new year. You know, I want to say this. A lot of people sort of cash out the chips this time of year. They go, nah, I want to tend to my model train collection this time of year. Muskie fishing is happening. And I got some really awesome emails this week from guys who were like, thank you for your dedication. Thank you for producing content and thank you for being there. You know, it's a one-sided conversation where it's me, Jay, and you. And we love you all. And there's a lot of guys on Christmas Eve. That episode came out and they were shocked that we did that. We're never going to let you down. Never going to turn around. Right. We're not going to rickroll you. We're here. Yep.
We hear thanks for the content all the time. And once it's a week, really, it's much appreciated. Yeah.
You know, really, and it's just like, you know, hey, man, you need to laugh on Christmas Eve. We were there. The Todd and Dave intro.
Oh, yeah, the Todd and Dave one, yeah.
Sorry.
The outtakes.
Towing the line, Jay.
Yeah.
You know, you got your toe right there in the sand. Well, where's the line you can cross? My toe.
I like the phone call to Wrigley Field, and you had your mom be the Wrigley Field.
Hello, Wrigley Field. You got to do what you
got
to do.
It was a fresh voice in it. That was beautiful.
You know, so you do what you can do. And obviously, Happy New Year. It's going to be, you know what? It's going to be a great musky New Year, Jay. I'm feeling it. I'm in a good mood. I've had 15 to 17 Pepsis. I can't count that grained. And,
holy smokes. Okay.
Well, listen, you're a rookie. But things are looking up. Things are positive. You know, keep your chin up. We get emails from people with their chin up and their chin down. And the holiday season brings up a lot of chin downs. I want to tell you this. Me and Jay love you. We appreciate your support. And we're not going to let you down. We're going to be here week after week after week after week after week. And Jay, I'm responding to some of these emails. To be honest, we got to the holiday season. You know, we're here for muskie fishing, but you know what? You can always reach out, and we're always going to touch base with you guys, and we appreciate you. I'll tell you, I got some exciting stuff coming out for the first of the year. We'll talk about that. But it's a new year. It's new baits, Jay. So the shameless plug, absolutely shameless. The crack.
No, that's not shameless. Kidding me?
Shameless.
Game changer.
Stephen Paul's Kraken from Stephen Paul, brought to you by Stephen Paul. Some of the producers of Stephen Paul's Titan. No, I'm teasing. The Kraken comes out. We've got an official date, dudes. My dudes. January 16th.
January 16th.
It is in the country. It is at the Muskie Shop. We're waiting for the holidays to wind down. January 16th is a Tuesday. They will go on sale early in the morning. I'm thinking, what, 9 Central?
We'll do something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Obviously, we'll have details coming. Right. It's 2 weeks away.
Right. So a couple weeks out, they're going to be here. There's a ton of you dudes signed up. What I'll tell you is this. There's a limited supply. They will hopefully make it the whole way.
Yeah, hopefully everybody gets a crack at 1, 2, 3, 4 more of these things because
I just had some, and there's a, you know, you're a guide and it's like, it blurs together. You got Boomer McBoomerson on the boat and you're like, you forget him. I have these really guys, like every now and again, you have like bright spots on the boat. You know, a lot of podcasts from when somebody, like there's dudes that listen to podcasts. Like the guy that made us these metal signs years back, right?
Yeah.
He texted me I need to text him back, but there's one guy on my phone, I don't even know his name, it says Metal Dude or whatever. Like every time we do something heavy metal, he texts me or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Right. You get these guys on the boat and you're like, I was getting on the boat and we're talking like an hour in, and they acknowledge they listen to the podcast and go, oh crap, I can be myself, right? You know, I had these guys on the boat just a couple days ago, and it blurs together. We get to talk. He's like, yeah, I listen a little bit. And I was like, oh, now I can be an idiot. We started throwing the crack. It's like, boom, fish after fish after fish. But it's not the tube tail dudes. It's not. You're going to see a demo video, right? Very shortly, of the other two tails for the Kraken. Oh!
Hello.
So, little bit of Herbeck, little bit of me, little bit of just drinking Pepsis in Wabagoon this summer. The Kraken, obviously, we're going to show you a video very shortly. My friend Tim, personal best. There's a Karen McTavish fish, which I think will go down as the biggest fish for a female angler this year on Muskies Inc., right? It's on a Kraken with Herbie. Herbie got a couple just Mondos. I got a Mondo on the thing and countless other fish. 3 people have the bait, and we're talking like not 51s, 52s, okay? We're talking above that on this bait. Long story short, we were playing with this thing and went, okay, this is not just a tube replacement or a tube alternative or a different kind of like vertical jigging bait. This is a little bit more. So I got the final prototypes of what I would call kind of a bulldoggy rip tail and a paddle tail swim bait. And we were moving fish left and right for the last few months on what I would call, like, for lack of a better terminology, a bulldoggy rippy tail, right? If you remember the Phantom Hardheads, when Todd used to make the Phantoms, and that's a guy that I like. Remember the old Phantom packages that had like the Muskies hitting like an EVH colored 6-inch Phantom?
Yeah.
You know, how cool was that? And it's like, you know, the legendary, nobody's ever seen it, but Jay's seen it. Some of the EVH Titans, right? If you don't know what EVH is, I'm sorry. But, you know, you do some of these wacky paint jobs. And these baits are sort of a nod, like with the crack, and it's a nod to that Phantom Hardhead. It's different. The body style is different, but it'll do the same things with this big rip tail, like this big grub tail on the back. Now, the paddle tail is nasty. That thing head swings, I'll put it up against any of them. You show me a swim bait that looks better than that bait, I'll eat my shoe and I'll eat your shoe for dessert.
Yummy.
Yep. Yummy. Yep. So we're playing with that. So that's going to be cool. So January 16th, the other tails will come out very shortly. Now, what I can tell you, we finally, I hate is money. Jay knows money comes, money goes, right? $31.99 on the Titan. That's it. Or excuse me, the Kraken. My apologies.
You're right.
And some Kraken, Titan, whatever. Let me cracking it into the Muskie Shop database here.
Yep. So sign up. Sign up for that thing. Get a crack at the crack. And when they go on sale January 16th,
so you have 9, 10 different replacement tails. So there's multi-collared tails that are coming out plus the stock tails. You get two tails for $7.99. $4 a tail, dude. $4 a tail. They don't,
very affordable. Really is.
They don't tear up. I have fought tooth and nail, whether you believe me or not. I have fought the powers that be, whatever you want to think those are. I have fought tooth and nail to keep them as cheap as possible. So, what I will tell you is this. I have this. It's hanging finally in the bait cave, Jay. It is on the wall. It's hanging here off my original set of planer boards and with my Titan prototypes and everything. I have the very first walleye kraken. Remember the one I gave you that was ugly and I was like, I ran out of airbrush. Jay's first walleye kraken, I had to spray paint it and it looks like crap. But it's a walleye whitetail and inspired the final one. I have the first walleye whitetail and it is beat to death. The entire time I had that bait, I went through two skirts the entire summer. Two. That's how strong those skirts are. They're not going to tear up on you. It's going to be an affordable solution. I'm sick of it. I've told people in the boat. You remember, Jay, when we were on a tube rampage years back and we added up how many tubes we used?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
It was expensive. It's not reality for most people. So what I'll tell you is this. If you get a bait and you're like, okay, this is the color I want, Disco Shad or Pumpkin or whatever, get one pack. I promise you. You're going to get more life out of the skirt that comes with the bait and a two-pack. You can probably get the whole season.
It's ultra modular.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Now, it's beautiful.
The cool thing with this, it'll come down here shortly, and I was told from the powers that be, and I'm not talking about ski shop, but the big grub tail, which is the size of the biggest Kalins ever, the size of the biggest thing that's on the Phantom Tard head, you're going to get two pack of those for $10.
Okay.
You can't buy those grubs for that. So hopefully that comes into that. The swim bait will be the same thing. So imagine you get two swim baits. You can take a crack and you get two swim baits, two grubs, like a Phantom Hard head, and you get the skirts. Now, the question being this, something I need to address. If you put them on with no adhesive, they will pull off, period, right? Pike hits them, whatever. So the way they ship, they got a little bit of adhesive on the top, a little on the bottom. Roll them off. I'll show you that in a video. And you can take that skirt off like nobody's business, and you hit it with a little bit of super glue. Bam, bam, bam. We're back in the game. Whatever you want to do with these baits, you can do it. Something else on the Kraken. The same weights that are in the Titan replacement kit work on the Kraken.
Yes.
So we have 7 gram, 14, 21, 28. They ship with a 28. Now you have unlimited options, shallow, mid, deep, somewhere in between. We're talking about structure fishing. We're talking about hitting edges. You can do it all. I'm going to show you some Kraken mods when this thing comes out. Personally, right now, not going to lie to you. What do you with the hooking? So it is 4, 4, and 6 on that bait out of the package, right? 4, 4, 6. If we went
short, on the hook size,
on the hooks,
is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Four out, six out. Yes. Right. Okay.
That was, again, the powers that be said, this makes the most sense is what we did. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. The Krakens I run, they don't have the hooks anymore. The ones I'm running right now, and hopefully they get them in, are the Tyrant Short Shank 7-0 Wide Gaps. The same ones I ran on my Bondies, right? Herbie's running a Mustad 7 and takes the middle hook off. Once you get that top hook out on a quote-unquote 2B thing, the hookup ratio is insane. Insane. I've not personally lost a fish on these baits. They hit the head. They head shoot them. They don't tear the skirts up. Me and Jay have fished tubes forever. Jay, how many skirts have you, or tubes have you thrown away because they ran out of tentacles? Like none. The bodies are smashed up, right? You can't lighter them together. So that's the cool thing with this bait. Again, I'm not trying to be shameless about it. The modular nature of it is intense. You can do whatever you want with this bait. Whatever you can dream up, you can do with it. That was the point. When we get into the quote-unquote hard head or the swim bait version, I promise you, when you guys see the hard head version, quote-unquote the swim bait version, the head on this bait moves 4 to 5 inches nonstop on the swim bait. I promise you, I came up with, quote-unquote, the best tube, because it's not a tube, but it kind of is a tube. Now, I've always said it's not to replace your tubes, and it's not to replace your tubes, but you'll see what it does. I think the swim bait is better than any swim bait, Jay. I damn near will bet the boat, if you fish swim baits, the Kraken as a swim bait's got more action than any swim bait you've ever seen. So that's going to be cool. I'm taking it in the freaking wallet to get those skirts to you. I promise you. I've given up everything. Whether you believe it or not, I don't care. I don't need it. But I cannot sort of hang my hat on this typical thing in muskie fishing, Jay. Here's a bait. I've come up with a bait. I've worked my butt on the bait. It's $100. Explicit, so I don't have to do a beep. You. No way. Done with it. It's gross, right? So we made it affordable. This thing is going to kick ass. When you see the video of the fish this thing caught this summer and this fall, you are going to crap your pampers. I promise. Anyway, you can tell I'm excited about it, obviously, for reasons. You can tell. But like I said, it ended up being $31.99. We thought it'd be $29.99, but inflation. And it just is. And I'm not saying inflation. It just is the cost of goods. It just is. Yep. It makes me grossed out. But you look at a bucktail that's $40 and you get a hard bait that does that much for 32. It is what it is. So the other thing I want to show you, we're working on the video here shortly. You'll see the preview of the swim bait tail and the quote unquote hard head tail. I don't know what else to call it because it's kind of not, again, honor to him. He was an amazing bait designer. Todd that made the Phantoms. You know, God bless you. Rest in peace. Probably one of the most influential bait designs in 30 years, right? Great dude. Jay, you said he's amazing. Never interacted with him, but what an amazing bait design. So a tip of the hat to him, and I'll admit it, with that big grub on the back, you can get the same action out of this bait. With the paddle tail on the back, you're going to get a swim bait that makes other swim baits look like garbage. And then you have the tube nature of this bait. So the versatility is there. I'll show a bunch of rigging things. Hopefully by the time of release, we'll have like a willow leaf blade off the back like Herbeck talked about, excuse me, as far as a mod kit. But this is a very modular bait. It's going to be modular. Whatever you sort of dream up and play with is going to be there. Jay, you've got the edit we did one this summer as far as like how to work that bait, correct?
Remember we did I've got a short on that, and then we did we're in the bowl. And that hasn't aired yet, right?
It hasn't aired.
We never used it.
We haven't used it yet. So
yeah, I got it somewhere.
We'll do some fresh pull demo there. But it'll be interesting. You know, I'm super excited. It's what I've said. It's one of these baits you go, I wish I didn't let the cat out of the bag. But if you're fishing deep edges, forget about it. You know, in the shallow nature, like I said, I'm not a shallow water fisherman, but you know, you take the weights out completely and that thing looks nasty. We got that on video when we did that. So it'll be interesting. Quickly, Jay Essie does the bait of the week, right? So on the app, on the Muskie 360 app, you have Jay's bait of the week. So we skip one for the holidays. That's fine. But we have a little write-up on the Slammer Fatty Minnow. Both of us have loved that bait.
Me too.
And Jay does a write-up on that. I think that's one you got to have in your tackle box. You know, Bill at Slammer, he does not play around. The trolling nature of that bait, it's great. So the short's there.
Then I did a write-up. And try it with the new mini fishtails that we just got in there recently too.
Yeah. You know, which is a good twist. Something I try to do more. I'm not afraid to have an opinion, right? Everybody in musky fishing, you got to have an opinion and it has to be positive.
Sure.
It is what it is. I don't care. I don't care. That's the podcast. I'm honest. I did a write-up on the Muskie Innovation Quad Dog. Just put on the app today, here on the 31st. I like the bait. I tell you what it'll do. I'll tell you why it does what it does. Like, the only thing, like I said, and I talked to Jay about it, you know, is this a shallow weed bait? Absolutely not. But there's a review on the Quad Dog up there on the app. As far as is my take on it, I spent some time with it. Actually, I took a picture. You can see some tooth holes on the black and orange when they're caught some fish on it. It's a cool bait. It's a different take. Check that out on the app. You're going to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense because it's not what you think it is, right?
No, it's a great review. Definitely worth your time. Check it out. Yeah, absolutely. So, good job.
You know, it's my honest take. I'm not kissing its ass and I'm not shitting on it. It's a great bait.
Right.
But I think the misconception of what irked me on that bait is it's a Medusa ripoff. It's not. It really isn't. You know, and I have no affiliation with Innovations. I love their stuff. I love Chaos stuff too. But it is what it is. So my observation with this bait in the water, I sort of put it in the article this week. The other thing I'll say this, the only other new bait I know that's coming out for 2024, this mass production. I mean, you might have Ricky's baits and they make, you know, four baits a year. Booker's got the Slop Master 10 Buck, the spinner bait, right? And he sent me a little thing on that. And it is a buck hair with a little bit of tinsel slop master. And you go, okay, why would I need that? Just like RJ's. You said RJ's got some new stuff. That smaller profile, that hair profile versus flash boo. These muskies in the Northwoods or pressure water, they've seen flash boo and they have seen hair. They've seen it all. So a spinnerbait with a smaller body profile with a little bit of flash to it, that's an interesting take for sure.
Yeah, RJ's got a couple versions coming out that are on the smaller size. Yeah. So, yep. One is a 7-8 combination, and one is an 8-9 combination. Mm-hmm. Like you said, in the with a slim, very nicely tied bucktail. We have both used the D8, which is their double eight Colorado. Love that thing.
The double eight car. The
and
double
I love
10.
The little French tail. You know, which is similar.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get. I've got I only have one RJ's double tens.
The purple one.
No, the purple one is the double eight. I've got an orange double ten that I've smoked them on Eagle and Wabagoon on.
Oh, cool.
And that's a great bait. It's that weight forward. I mean, I'm getting to the point where with bucktails, there's a 8 billion, and you go, what matters? That weight forward nature of that RJ's is different. It just is. You know, and yeah, you know, he's a small builder. He's this, he's that. It's not like everyone's flipping out going, RJ's. But people are flipping about the 7-8 staggers and all this stuff. Go, oh, it's a deeper running bucktail. This dude had it figured out before everybody else. That RJ's 8 runs deep as crap, dude. So the weight forward nature of these is pretty interesting. So it'll be interesting to see what he cooks up here in the new year. As far as we're talking about new, right? I'm riffing. I'm fired up. I had chicken tacos, Jay. So I'm wired. I've been in the Pepsis. My knees hurt because it's cold. But
it's cold everywhere.
It's cold everywhere. We talk about new stuff, but unfortunately,
I know where you're going. Yeah.
We have to announce the temporary death of, I guess, for lack of a better word, maybe I don't know anything, of Shumway.
Shumway Tackle.
Yep.
Yeah, they're hanging it up.
Hanging it up. So Shumway Tackle, if you're scoring on Shumway stuff, get it while you can.
Yeah.
What
masters sort of marabou bucktails, you know, some have flash blue accent and such, but yeah, I mean the masters, and a lot of them are double bladed. The whole flasher series, four different sizes. I mean, if you haven't thrown a Shumway giant flasher, and I know you expose that thing extremely well in the big
video,
the complete guide video. Yeah, that was, it's something different. It's a very shallow running snake-like weapon to use for over tops of weeds and other shallow type cover situations. But yeah, they got a bucktail that does everything, but the nature of and the quality of their stuff speaks volumes. Bruce Shumway has been in the game longer than anybody, just yeah. about, you know, and you know, I believe the company is for sale. If there's anyone out there that's interested, you know, you can email me at the shop. I'll get you his contact information.
Email the app, yeah.
Maybe it will be continued. But at this point, we bought everything they have left remaining in inventory, and it's online. I've got it pretty high on the homepage on the muskyshop.com website.
One of the first things I went for when that I heard about that, and I talked about this year, and we use. I'm looking here in the bait cave, and if people, I had a guy ask this week, how many baits do you have? I said, you don't want to know.
No.
But, you know, Jay's seen it. Reels, baits, trolling motors, you name it. There's like six nets over there. Forget about it. Got my own store here. Something you can't live without are those Shumway giant flashers. And you go, why? You know, we've seen suspending bucktails. We've seen them with wooden plugs on them. We've seen all this stuff. That marabou, that giant, I call him a funky chicken, dude. Those giant flashers, July, August in Canada, you are going to dredge up a freaking monster. They just have the thing. They just
huge.
Have. Yeah. Jim at the Muskie Shop will tell you the same thing. What I do with the giant flashers, I cut the flashaboo off the back so I don't get short strikes. I put the biggest hooks I own on the back. It's a huge profile, but man, it runs shallow, right? So if you're fishing really shallow water, you're fishing big fish that like to come up in the evenings, that's a topwater alternative in my brain. It's a shame. It's the nature of the musky business. You know, we're talking to handmade baits. We're down to that, you know. Down to the hothead. I mean, it's one of the most affordable baits in the muskie game has been for years, like the Shumway hothead.
Yep.
So
yep.
Check them out. And people go like skirting material we talked about in the big video we did this year, the complete guide to muskie fishing. But, you know, skirt material influences running depth, and marabou is going to be one of your most shallow running depths. You know, it's the same concept of, now fly fishing for muskies is so trendy and it's so cool where we're just playing with running depth and going, can I get something to work over these shallow weeds if it is big? So check them out. Like I said, the giant flasher, that's where my brain's at. If you don't have one of those and you're fishing Canada, just grab one sort of in that money color that works for you. You're like, okay. Just so you have it more. If we hear that bait's going to be taken over by somebody or somebody's going to produce those or something like it in the future, obviously we'll let you know. But it's just the nature of the beast, Jay. You know, you go, it's so funny. I've talked to people because people ask me about, let's say, Titan Junior, Kamikazes, obviously Kraken's coming out or all this stuff. Musky fishing is weird in scalability, right? It's not that big of a sport, but it's big enough. But you can't take a bait like a Shumway and say, like, Normark Rapala picks it up. It doesn't make sense to a corporate entity. So, you know, there's just a handful of quote-unquote big companies in muskie fishing.
It's true.
Even the ones you think are big are one, two, four guys. You know, it's not a big business. So sometimes these things go along the wayside. Check them out. If you're new to the game, look at it, you know, and sort of see what it's worth. Hopefully it doesn't go the way. I mean, we've talked about high fin, Jay.
Yeah.
Gone. You know, some of the stuff, like, it just comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. It's like, I've seen how many iterations of that freaking, what's that one jerk bait? It's like a reef hog, but it's plastic.
Sledge?
No, not a sledge. Freaking, they come back every few years.
Looks like a reef hog?
It looks like a reef hog, but it's plastic. What the? Squirko.
Okay, I think somebody might be making those. Yeah, they've been right now, like, but I'm not sure.
They come and they go, and they come and they go, and they make them and they don't. Whatever. That's just what it is, and so if you're a Shum White guy and you're like addicted to it, if you're anything on the same tip, I don't think I'm talking out of school like Wendell's. Where are we at on Wendell's? Is that done or is that
no? Okay. He's an older gentleman too. He's still hammering away. We actually we just put a big order in the other day. Get some refills.
I know he was getting up there, but I was just thinking about Bucktails, but. Other than that, that's the pounded on Shumway, and it's the nature of the beast. Jay, it's the new year. You know, I've got to get out there and watch Freddie fall into the abyss of fire, whatever it is. I think this year he survived the 88 ball drop.
Where do they drop him in Minocqua? I mean, I understand the ball drop, but where does he end up?
The Minocqua fire pits.
The fire pit. Okay.
We'll hit a couple Q&A here, right?
Yeah.
Anthony. Hey, guys. Happy holidays. I'm hoping you can help me narrow my search for a couple deep diving crankbaits for casting. Keep in mind casting. I have a small selection, but I think this one. Okay, but I think this is one of the few areas I could expand my toolbox. I have a Baby DR, a Livingston model that's about 6 inches or so, and some oversized bass options at the moment. The lake I fish most frequently is clear and weed-based, so being able to touch weeds without consistently hanging up is the best. Also have my best luck on smaller presentations. Can you guys give me some options for this? I'm hoping to catch you before this week's episode. The holidays probably did that. I apologize. Also hoping that Steve might go on a big ramble rant about casting deep divers. Thanks again for all you guys do. Hilarious and informative. Lastly, I think a parody song of Ramble On would be amazing. Or any Zeppelin for that matter. I think we did at one point Immigrant Song with We come from the land of the ice and snow, with the rangers going to the hand and down. So Zeppelin, it is what it is. It's one of those things you touch and you feel dirty for picking on Zeppelin.
I don't think we've ever done a Rush song for that matter.
I think we did. We did at one point. We did. We've definitely
Limelight.
Now we did Tom Sawyer. Rush is like,
you're right.
What are you gonna freaking replace with like Red Bruschetta, like Red Bondichetta? Come on, it's like
some of these are more difficult than others. Oh, it's like no
me
doubt
and Jay
it.
Will be. I like we'll text each other all week long and we'll think about. There's a firework, Jay. It's not like 4th of July at your house, but it's bad enough, right? You know, it's like, I ain't got no Bondi. like nobody wants to hear David Lee Roth solo
thing. Hey, you know, speaking of Bondi, we got some in.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, from the order in April. So he hammered out some musky-sized Bondis, and we got them in the other day. So that's another thing. If you didn't notice online or on social media, the announcement that there are some available. Not a ton, but get them while you can, because those things never last. And they take a long time to get. What do you got there, a guitar?
Hey, Bondi. What?
Muskie.
I mean,
do you hear me now?
What do you do with Zeppelin? As we troll down the road. As we're trolling Magnum Toads.
That's what the Biden I am told.
I mean, what do you do?
Look at that man down on the road.
Exactly.
He's catching muskies on a toad.
JoJo.
Cast him.
I mean, Zeppelin's hard.
Yeah, it just is.
You know, I love nothing more than butchering songs with musky parodies, if you guys don't know.
What about that one when you were over at my house, when we were getting all dialed in, you dialed in the box and what was that? Cashmere.
What are you going to do that? I mean, I don't even know what. No one knows the lyrics to Cashmere, not even Robert Plant.
I'm trying to think. Is there a verse?
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe this thing's in tune out of the case. I mean, what are those Zeppelin songs? We got to ramble on. Boom, boom, boom. Freaking. I've been slimed and confused so long with Dr. Juice. What do you do? Sorry, dude. Like,
the options are not endless.
That, I mean, slimed and confused. I love it. Come on, Joe.
I've been musky, bit my finger. That old musky bit me hard. I'm bleeding all over. Can't stop the bleeding. Musky bit me hard. So hard, so hard.
That's all I got.
I know.
Way down inside.
Sorry.
Musky, you need me.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I apologize. Literally, this is what, like, I'll call Jay, be like, Jay, what do you think? Right? You know? You know? Mm-hmm. It's usually a Kevin Cochran song from like Boston, you know, because that guy got cheated on more days in the 80s than he had a girlfriend. What was the one song we did? I was like, heard it from a guy.
Heard it from a guy who.
You've been fishing while I was over town. It was like pathetic.
You're cheating hard.
Yeah, I mean. Anyway, yes, we will work on more Zeppelin covers. I love Zeppelin, though. But it's like, what we could do, like, Hey Joe Booker. That'd be funny, you know? But outside of that, what do you do? It's tough. We try our best. We've done Crazy Train. I think we've done Crazy Train like twice with Elmer. We've done...
It's one of Elmer's favorites.
No, we did. No, we didn't do that. That's Alice in Chains. Well, we did Wood, didn't we?
Wood?
Yeah, we did it. Oh, there's the... We did those alternative songs. It was another. It was Wood. Into the Slop Again. Which was ridiculous. Sorry, I apologize. It's New Year's Eve. I've been drinking. Osama been drinking. Sorry, we're definitely not. That's Nutshell, isn't it? No, that's wrong. Anyway, nonetheless, sorry. I'm going to put this down because this will just disintegrate into dumb shit. So we will work on Led Zeppelin. Okay, so what he requested was not for me to pick up a guitar and be a complete dumbass.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's
he
right.
He asked for Deep Diving Crankbaits. I apologize. So, Baby DR, guess what it is, Jay, in my book.
What is it?
It's money? A mid-diving crankbait.
Oh. It is. I'd consider it mid, too.
Mid. Not mid like the millennials say mid, like mid is bad.
Yeah, the old mid depth.
The mid depth. Deep running crankbaits. He's smart to go with some of the quote unquote downsized bassy stuff. So there's a couple crankbaits that are bass crankbaits that are staples in my musky box. Like the Livingston Lures Howler, right? The body's like 4.5 inches because they super deep diving lip. The same could be said for something you could pick up at Walmart, if that's all you can find. There's a KVD Deep, right? Those are deep crankbaits. The Smitty Deep, the Reef Diggers, those are deep baits. So if it's a mid-depth or a truly deep 15, 20, 25-foot ledge kind of situation, that's something to consider.
Yeah, I consider a deep diving crankbait something that you can cast 10, truly 10. Get it down to 10 plus. Like
it's going
to
come to 10. Baby DRs and standard depth raters are old school depth rater will hit 8, a new depth rater is going to hit 6 to 7, and that's according to Panoptics, right? So the Pounder from Livingston, the jointed one, will hit 8 all day long. But it's got a really slow rise, so it's a matter of buoyancy versus dive curve. Off the top of my head, though, I mean, something I know that gets down, it's like kind of stupid. Not stupid, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's kind of old school, which would be those Cisco Kid Wranglers, right? They'll get down in a hurry. The non-buoyant ones, like the Huskies and stuff.
Yeah, the 1800.
Cisco Kid, right.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're like limited tackle box, I like where you're going with the bassy stuff, right? If it's like a 4, 4.5 inch body and he said he's typically fishing a body of water that has produced on small bait. So small, deep, that's a trick. The little Cisco Kids, Jay, are those buoyant or not? Like the Wranglers, those are plastic, right?
They're plastic. The Wrangler's jointed. That's mid-depth. That's the... Right.
What about the straight Wrangler?
The straight Cisco Kids. Well, yeah, okay. Those will come... That's called a 600 series. So that comes shallow S, which is incredibly shallow. Barely breaks 1 foot. Great over weed tops. Slow little wiggle. They got a medium one, which is just that. Goes to about 4 or 5. Uh-huh. And then got a countdown, which is sinks about a foot a second. Big old metal lip, so it is adjustable and tunable, and that thing, that'll hit it. That's got a thin 7-inch body, right around there, 6-inch body maybe.
There was a bait, and again, one of the first baits we talked about in the podcast that I worked on or worked with, whatever you want to call it, was the Big Norm, right? We had the dude that was making it had a table saw accident. If you want to know the truth, end of story. Table saws are dangerous. Don't drink and use a table saw. The Stephen Ball story. But that was a tip of the hat to a bait called a Bill Norman DR2, which is a deep runner. It's a bass bait. It's like 4.5 inches long. If you get your hands on some of those, you're going to pay the price on eBay. But that's a deep running bait that muskies like than a downsized, shaddy, small stuff. Because it's a weird thing of like the dive lip on a bait has to be pretty dominant to get it deep. So we're looking for small and deep. That's tough, right? Something I've been doing, this is not a crankbait thing, but nope, there's Fred. Screw you, Fred. You missed the intro.
Snooze you lose, Fred.
Snooze you lose, loser. Something I've been working on or playing with here lately on the boat are like some of these small Medusas, not the micro Medusas, but like the mini Medusa, and adding like weight to those. So small baits, you can get down there. You might have to augment. Now, you could take theoretically any bait and weight them down and get it down there, right? So is it a matter of putting an ounce of lead, a half ounce, 3/4 on the leader, on the bait? Is it a matter of tape? Play with that. I think you're smart, though, when it comes to if it's truly a small bait bite or a small presentation bite on the body where you're fishing, the biggest deep bass baits you can find. And I'd recommend having like an assortment of these. They're typically cheaper than musky baits, I hate to say it.
You know what one would be to try for them, too, would be that Slammer 4-inch deep. Mm-hmm. It's got a small body, big diving lip. That mm-hmm. thing gets down pretty deep.
That's and a pretty good one, yeah.
It's a buoyant bait. Yeah, that would be going to try downsize wise.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just it's one of those things, small and deep, not a typical combination. But like you said, that's that 4-inch slammer. I've done real well on that thing. I think
the home waters in the Milwaukee area, they crush fish on that because I think it's in the same situation. They're in bodies of water that are high pressured and small baits produce.
Right. You know, one thing, if you're fishing quote unquote busky tackle, like big bass baits for muskies, make sure your hooks are up to snuff, and you can actually typically pick up some deeper running depth with bigger hooks on bass baits. Panoptics is often helpful with that, but you know, if you know a point terminates at say 15 feet and you're making contact, you'll get a feel for it. So don't be afraid to augment bass baits for that purpose. We'll move on. Robbie, what is a better trolling rod, the Chaos 8-foot or the Shield Rod 8-foot?
I don't know if it's a... Hold on. I just dropped some stuff, Jay. Drop my stuff.
Guitar pick?
No.
Pencil?
Yeah, my pencil. I brought my pencil. It's not a one or another.
Have you ever sharpened your pencil and crunched numbers?
Pencil? My pencil? Yes, I'm sure. I've many people sharpen my pencil, Jay. I'm a professional pencil sharpener.
Okay.
And I've crushed plenty of numbers, buddy, with my pencil. Crushed.
Holy cow. That's impressive.
Triple digits. Anyway.
Wow. Sorry. God, it's New Year's Eve, folks.
I'm an idiot. Folks, I'm fired up and ready to go live on AM 420 Minocqua's radio station.
Dick Stempke, the lost tapes.
The lost tape. Better trolling rod, Chaos 8-foot or Shield Rod 8-foot? Okay, so for me, I run the Chaos 8-foot. Nope, I don't. I run the Shield Rod. I'm teasing. Let's look at Shield Rod, right? Let's compare price. That's the only thing I got to tell you. Where is the 8-foot Shield Rod? Okay. Do you know off the top of your head the Shield Rod Trolling Series 8-foot price?
I thought it was $220. Yeah, I'll look it up.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Is the TLB the trolling? Trolling live bait, yeah.
Yep.
$224.99.
Great guides. It's lightweight, but it's still got the fiberglass blend in it for very, very durable, even sub-freezing weather conditions.
Pull up the Chaos trolling. I'm trying to find that one. Chaos, would it be a salt stick?
Yep. Chaos ones are very affordable. That is one thing they definitely got going for them. I'll say that. Let's see. Okay.
He's saying 8-foot versus 8-foot.
Trolling live bait, $139.99. And they don't make an 8. We got a 9 and a 10. Yeah. They're both two piece. They break down in the center area of the rod.
So it's not a 1-to-1 comparison. It's hard to make an assessment. Okay, I'm looking at the Chaos rod, and Chaos makes great rods. So they make a 9-foot two piece, and we have a 8-foot one piece at Muskie Shop as far as the Shield rod. The Chaos trolling rods have EVA handles, so it's foam versus cork, right? The Shield rod has a pistol grip, like a trigger, even on the trolling rod, right? And mm-hmm. they have insert eyes versus the Chaos trolling rod just has a one
stainless steel.
Steel, yeah. It's stainless, whatever you want to call it, eye. Okay? So, you know, don't put me in a position. I'm not comparing quality or one rod's better than another. I'm just telling you the features thereof, right? I know the real seat on the Shield rod is a crank down where the chaos is a crank up, right? So the shield rod cranks down to the reel. The chaos cranks behind the reel as far as the way they've orientated that. I'm a shield rod guy. I'm obviously biased. If price is a problem, you know, you're going to save $90 on a 9-foot trolling. For me, I've ran, what, Jay, the same four shield rods for 3.5, 4 years. Whenever we started with those.
Yeah. Durability's great. They last forever. They hold up
great. I use them for live bait. I use them that. I like the tip response. So that's just the assessment. I mean, I'm not going to say one's better than the other. I'm going to say, I mean, could I run the chaos rods and have the things same success?
That you just hit it too, Steve. Yeah, I mean, you talked about the tip response. I mean, that is something, if you're dialed in with whatever trolling setup you're using, because that the visual aspect of that is huge. You know how that bait's running.
Well, that's a thing, and I'm not trying. And dudes, I'm not tap dancing like, oh, he doesn't want to do. If I don't like something, I'll tell you. You've been listening long enough. I've got myself in trouble plenty of times. I've gotten nasty emails from people that make baits. Don't care. Freaking save your keystrokes. You're not going to change who I am. They're two different products entirely. The chaos rod, the hook hangers on the top, and the reel seat crank down is from behind, right? The musky shop rod is a forward down crank down for your reel, in my opinion, more sturdy. The hook retainer's on the back side, so you store your, it's on the front side, just like the chaos, so I'm wrong on that, but it's on the front side, it's a little bit more robust. They have the ceramic inserts, and I'm just doubting on the tip sensitivity. So I'm not, if you want one trolling rod, save yourself some money and get the chaos. If you're going to do multiple, I want the longevity. I sort of want the lifespan. I'm going to have the shield rod. There's not a good one or a bad one. What's your budget? What do you want? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That would be it. And then again, I mean, just being honest, storage issue. So if they got a 9-foot two piece that, let's call it 4.5, right? Say it breaks into 4.5 and it's a two piece. Okay. If you don't have the storage, that might make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Muskie Shop sells them both. So there's not a good one or a bad one. I'm a shield rod guy, but I could troll those and be successful. The one thing I say with trolling rods, like Jay was saying, or we touched on, the visual aspect of the tip response means a lot to me of going, okay, that headlock has a single leaf on it. People like, there's a leaf. You can tell. There's something on there. Like,
absolutely.
I'll pull a bait up and there's a, like something on it. There's a tiny bit of scum and you go, how do you know that? Well, I've spent hundreds of hours watching the tips of rods go. So if nothing else, be consistent. Be consistent in your trolling rods. Don't have three different trolling rods. Let's say, theoretically, Jay, let's say you have three different trolling rods, right? Or four or whatever. If you got a mixed bag, well, you better use the same baits or be consistent on what baits you put on what rods so you know what they're doing. You see what I'm saying? So you need to think about that visual aspect of these rods. You go, okay, it's bouncing. It's not touching bottom. It's some feedback. Because when you're trolling, the only feedback you have is tip response. What I can tell you about the shield rods, they're very, very, very limber in the last 6 to 8 inches. Right, the backbone is stellar, where I can set my drag pretty much anywhere where it's not slipping and I'm going to hook a fish. That's the big thing on a shield rod. As I go, the thought process behind the backbone on that rod was well thought out, right? Because back in the day, dude, I used to go, long before I even knew you, Jay, I would go to freaking Bass Pro or whatever and buy these monstrosity trolling rods that had just like those eyes, right? They're one piece eyes and this really soft tip, and they cost me $30 a piece, right? Why am I missing fish and why am I losing fish? Well, you don't have the backbone to fight them and the tip response is really slow. So that's the difference when it comes to a trolling rod, is tip response and backbone. So you want a soft tip that really tells you what your bait's doing, And then you want the backbone strong enough that when a fish hits it, once that tip gives, he's screwed, right? Where Jay's like Jay's Bay of the Week. He was talking this week about the fatty slammer minnow. What is that, 5-inch bait?
Six, yep.
Six overall. Is that with the lip or
overall,
whatever?
Overall.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. I can see that on the shield rod. I go, okay, I'm accustomed to that. So if you're buying a spread, buy Ford Chaos or buy four shield rods. Right? If you're on one trolling line state, whatever, pick one and be done. You know, so it becomes a matter of, am I running a spread? Am I budget conscientious? Am I considering a mixed bag or not? Just be consistent. So like my trolling setup, all the reels are the same, all the rods are the same, all the rod holders are the same. I don't want a mixed bag. So if I need to put a headlock on the outside or a grandma, I know what a 6-inch grandma looks like on every one of these rods, or a 7.5 or whatever it is, right? Or a freaking H2O Barbarian. I know what it looks like. Know what that tip response looks like, and then understand the tip response versus strike versus your drag settings. That's all that matters. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Yep.
Goodness. Jay, it's almost midnight.
Creeping towards.
We meet
creeping me, towards we, the countdown.
You meet me under the mistletoe.
All we got down to was 8. Poor Freddie. Oh, man. I'm going to have to listen to that intro again, get all the details straight.
No, you do what you can do.
What a tragedy.
What?
What a failed experiment. Yeah.
Failed utopian experiment.
Yeah. Sad.
Okay, Larry but Hunt.
It's a new year.
Larry Hunt, information on fishing the upper James River, Virginia. Best area in any information. On guides. Okay. Shoot me a email at the app. I'll send you some names there, Larry. We don't hit the pure specificity on spots too very often, except for Jay's. Right. Well, I want to burn anything Jay likes to fish. All right. Just everything Jay likes, just burn the shit out of it. Mark, gentlemen, and Steven. Wow, I like that. Wow. It's offensive, Mark. Thank you. Your point was well received. Ha ha ha. Merry Christmas. Well, you know, screw your Christmas, Mark. I hope it's miserable.
Holy cow.
I'm a noble gentleman, Jay. No, nope. I'm not. I'm a total trash panda. Anyway, thank you for all your knowledge that you share on the podcast. Never thought I'd laugh so much listening to a fishing podcast. Well, you know what? Me either. Because I didn't know we were doing a fishing podcast to episode 300. Jay was like, you know, we're supposed to be talking about muskies. Like, what? Anyway, they sobered me enough. They threw me in an ice bath. Like, listen, you know, this is a fishing podcast. Like, what? Anyway, two questions. If you have the time. Well, we have the time. It's New Year's Eve and Jay's alone and I'm in my office drunk. How do you gauge the length of line you have out for a figure eight? In stained muddy water and or using a crankbait or deeper running presentation. 80% of the time, I can get it at a good length, but it seems I just can't gauge where the bait is. Speaking of Jay, I'm going to take a beer break. Are you ready?
Okay.
Drain your thing. And I'll be right back. And we'll answer these questions after this quick pee break brought to you by our sponsors, Pathetic Lonelyism.
Okay.
I just left the little boy's room, Jay. I apologize. Sorry.
It's well, I'm glad you're back.
We had to take the break. We did the intro, and here we are. And we're not phoning in. This is a long one. We're doing it. So gauging line length on your figure eight. My preference has always been the tighter to the rod tip, the better we are. Therefore, the bait is more responsive, right? The more line you have out, the worse it corners. In dirty water, what I've done in the past, because growing up in West Virginia, we fish the Mud River and we fish Cave Run. You can't see anything coming. You can get away with tying a knot, like figure out where one turn is above your figure eight length, right? Put a little knot in your line or put something that comes to the rod to click, boom, I'm there. Back in the day, that's what we used to do. You can, however, just reel right to the leader. Say, like, you've got a shield rod and a musky shop leader. We're talking rods. The musky shop leader won't go through the eyelid of that rod, right?
Right.
So, if you get right to the leader, you feel that, like, rod tip is down, the angle is correct, you feel that click, and you're just into it. So, you've got to come up with a system that works for your equipment and for you. So, you go, I know consistently I am 12 inches off the rod tip, 18 inches off the rod tip, whatever leader you're using. We know the muskies aren't rod shy generally. So having something that sets you up is going to be important. Whatever your leader length is or whatever, reel right to the rod tip. I tell my clients, have the rod already down. Your body language is already set up for a figure eight. And once that leader hits the rod tip, you start the first turn, right? Preferably, I'm leading into that turn knowing it's coming, right? But if you've never done it before, rod's in the water already, you got 2 feet down, click, and we're all the way around. That's what I would do. Okay. What is your concern level and any tanic use when you're fishing a spot with us? Okay. So what is your concern level and any panic? Is that tanic or panic? It says, what is your concern level and any tanic use when you're fishing a spot where the sun casts a shadow of you and the boat on the cast? Okay. He's probably saying panic. I've had many times where the muskie ignores the shadow when it falls in the figure eight, but many times as soon as it hits the shadow, it freaks out again. I struggle on the decision where to fish the spot until the sun angle. This bodes back to like a Dr. Bob podcast or stuff we've said. My assessment's always been that a juvenile muskie has very little to worry about other than muskies, pike, and predatory birds. So shadows are a bad thing. I try to avoid it as much as I can. Sometimes you're just relegated to fishing a spot that way. Something I'll look at when I'm approaching a spot and I cannot avoid the sun behind me. And at times that happens, right? Just through the very nature of the structure, or the cover, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Back it off. Give them more time, right? The next element is going to be like me and Dr. Bob talked about in the web podcast of like Booker does these ninja tricks figure eighting where he's driving the head down. Think about throwing that fish left or right, depending on what your handedness is, and keeping them from seeing you, right? So if you got a 9 foot, 9 foot six rod, whatever it might be, dog leg that off to the side before that fish is going to see you and distract him, right? Because most people, they throw a bait out and the rod's right in front of them and your shadow's right in front of them. So you can play the light. Be intelligent, make an assessment on how you're playing the light if you're able to, right? He says, sorry for the rant. That's not a rant. Not even close, Jay. We rant all day long here. So that would be the thing.
No, like, no, that's a microburst.
That's a microburst. So if you've got the light playing against you, you know, just think about how you position your boat. It goes to like taking 30 seconds and you look, okay, how am I approaching this spot? My boat control, my boat angle, yada, 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 right? Should I come upstream, exactly, downstream? That's what it boils down to in my mind of just being aware of I'm coming to a quote unquote spot, right? Well, don't hit it the same way every time because every day is different. The timing's different. Thing is this great. This guy says his name is Rotogrip Stimpke. I don't know what Rotogrip is, but his last name is Stimpke, Jay.
Oh, boy.
Right. He says, y'all be cray-cray. If you think them musketoons don't be using the big old sniffer Sandy Claws gave them. So Sandy Claws gave them. Dad always had us go get the leftover fish and meat scraps from the thirsty well on Mondays. Leave them saucy scraps. Okay, this guy is insane, and I like it. He's he goes on. If Elmer got hungry and stole them, I like this. I like where he's going. He doesn't ask a question. He just rants on about that muskies can smell things. Yes, they can. How prevalent is it? I had the conversation on my boat this week. It's like, should we be neutralizing our bait? Should we be using Dr. Juice? Or should they be just completely neutral? the hard thing is when it comes to scent is what's the right scent, what's the wrong scent? No one knows. No one knows. Not a soul. Could it change from body of water? Absolutely. However, if you're scent neutral, is it a negative or a positive? You know, Booker did a thing for a magazine years back where he peed on a bucktail, he dipped one in gas, and he did this and he did that, and he caught fish. Well, if he's throwing a bucktail, that's typically in the warm part of the year and things are moving faster. You know, the slower we get to scent matter, that's the question. And somebody's going to spend the time. I'm going to play with it here once we get into the doldrums of winter and let you know. However, I've seen guides in Canada where they're saving buckets of walleye, literally 5 gallon buckets of walleye guts, Jay. It's disgusting. And they put their bulldogs in them and they swear by it.
Okay. So that's extreme.
It's extreme. What I like on a musky boat is I can go to dinner when I get off. So, like, you know, the whole I've been filthy catfishing. Hey, man, break out the chicken liver, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that. I don't stink. I might look like a doofus, but I can go and sit down and have 4 Pepsis and a steak and not stink up the entire restaurant. However, if you prove to me that scent is a massive factor in colder water scenarios, which bodes to, like, our buddy in Canada that was doing the ice fishing. They can't do that anymore. Yeah. However, he swore scent mattered. So, in high-speed scenarios, scent doesn't matter. Booker proved it. He's peeing on, dipping them in gas, whatever he's got, right? Spitting on them, anything he can come up with, didn't matter. When we're low, slow, and finessey, and it's cold water, does it matter as much? Apparently, you know, Andrew Walker said with dead bait, it mattered a ton. So we're somewhere in that in-between of is it negative scent, positive scent, or neutral? And so that is an area that requires extensive experience. Can I give you an answer by the end of this winter? No, I can give you my anecdotal experience and go, okay, X, Y, and Z happened. But it's going to take time to go, is scent really a positive, neutral, or negative factor? I genuinely believe when it matters, but we don't know. We talked about it where, you know, how many hands a bait goes through before it ends up at your house. We said that one time where, I guess,
we talked about this about a month ago. Yeah.
Right. Is a truck driver smoking? Did Fred have a Totino's pizza on his finger when he picked it off the wall? You don't know. Those oils hang on forever. Are muskies that insanely dialed in on those smells? You know, I what I need to come up with, and I'm working on now, believe it or not, is what will neutralize the oils on a bait. And I've seen it a million times, like, because I have my underboss, right? The very first underboss that existed from Wreck and Rack, and Josh is great. He makes my stuff. I have the first underboss, my idea, right? Up under the pedestal. My baits are hanging there. Does the road grime that hits them matter? I mean, the exhaust off my car has to be hitting those.
Sure.
If I catch fish on them. But should, if they were neutralized, would I catch 2% more, 5% more, 3% more? Like,
Right.
Once I understand scent, or someone understands scent, or somebody really, I mean, they have a nostril on their head, dude. They do. You look, it's there.
What's it for? Exactly.
What's it for? Should we, like, I think the most important factor in this matter would be scent neutralization. Because there's a million times, you know, I notoriously eat the same thing on the boat every day, right? Dry turkey sandwich on Dave's Killer Bread. So, every day. And so that's got a little bit of oat in the bread. It's got some whole grains in the bread. And then we have turkey. I'm touching that barehanded. Then I'm picking weeds off my bait, or I'm touching the bait and I'm throwing it back out there. Those oils transfer. the oils from your hands transfer. We've talked about it. I mean, there is a scent transfer happening every time. How acute is their scent and how much does it play into their predation? No one knows. Not a soul. Somebody might give you an answer, but they're lying. They've not studied it. We need empirical data to really make an assessment of this. So I think the next evolution of this is scent neutralization. Like, do you have a little spray bottle of something that, like, removes the oils from the bait and it is just, like, water clean? That is where you start. How do you start anywhere else?
Mm-hmm. You know? Not a cover scent, but something that eliminates it. Yeah,
which
is dependent upon what is contaminated on the source. That could be 100% difficult. Yeah, I think it's low impact, personally, scent. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they've got nostrils. They use it for something. Is it the final determining factor of eating or not? Well, you're talking about a fish that is reactionary strike, you know, a vast percentage of the time, too.
I'd argue with that.
Well, right when the bait hits, you know.
Not many.
But then again, how many come in and veer off and you can't convert on the figure eight?
Here's my thing. It's seasonal, though, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you flat out. I mean, I had a trip the other day. We were 0-for-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had, via Panoptics, at least double-digit follows, right? I watched them come in, and the fish stayed, and there's this dude, we were laughing. I just like, he's still there, still there, still there, still there. He's got a 9-foot shield rod jammed down to the reel, and the fish is on it, and they won't eat him, right? The guy next to him, 3 pumps of the rod, boom, got lit up hard twice, right? And you go, what's the difference, okay? What's the difference? They're throwing similar presentations, if not the same presentation. It's not a front or back of thing. Is it the right fish? Is it the wrong fish? Is it in that cold water period of the fish that come in the winter and the colder the water, the less likely they are to hit in a figure eight? People that are in the South, you know, you go, we had 6 follows today and not one of them tried to hit it. And that's the same thing pre-ice up with you guys. And that's where the only time I go, okay, is that the final factor? In the summer, you can throw anything out there. The faster the metabolism, the faster the fish is moving, I think it matters less. You know, where, you know, theoretically, should we have a bucket of freaking linseed oil and fish oil on the boat and be dunking them every 3 casts? You know, kind of gross, but it is what it is.
It's an interesting debate.
It is, and nobody
knows. It really is.
Nobody knows.
That's the thing, yeah.
I have countless times, you know, with what I do, I'm on the water all the time. My biggest fear is like skin cancer. So I'm just dousing myself with aerosol shit all the time, right?
Yeah, right.
Touching baits, touching client rods, touching client baits, touching everything.
It's on the lure. 100%.
That is on the lure.
Yep.
There's no way about it. I try not to spray it on the palms of my hands, but I spray the back of my hands. The over sprays on my palm, period.
Sure.
And then you scratch your neck and you don't think about it. It's on the bait. It doesn't matter. Does not matter. Right? But generally, when those fish make a follow, we're converting 80% of those follows. That's the on Panoptics or our visual, 80% conversion rate. In the winter, it's far lower. So is it a matter of colder water scent matters? Is that the final factor? So that's a question for another day, but something to pontificate, Jay.
Yes, Steve.
I am amazed that Fred lived through the New Year's Eve catastrophe.
Well, he texted you. We tried to call him. We tried to get him in on this game, but, you know, too busy for us.
You know, ain't no rest.
I guess, you know.
Well, Jay Bird, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
You know, happy 2024. Hopefully it's a smooth year. We shall see. And, you know, if nothing else, I had an email. I'll say this. He said, what is your advice You talk about musky fishing. Hold on, let me pull it up. Connor says, what is your advice for a young man? You guys talk musky fishing all the time, but you've been successful in a lot of things you do. What's your advice for a young man? I'll end you with this. I saved this for 2 weeks. My advice for everybody, young man, old man, doesn't matter. Have a level of stoicism, right? Things are not good. Things are not bad. Things are. Also, too, you don't have to have an opinion on everything. Just because you're presented with a situation or you're presented with a problem, you don't have to formulate an opinion on it, positive and or negative. You don't have to do anything unless it is a direct effect, right? It will keep you sane. So you read something negative in the news, you don't have to formulate an opinion. You read something positive. Is that good? Is that bad? We shall see. It bodes back to the, you know, some of these parables or some of these other things. You know, somebody, there's an old Chinese thing. It was a funny, people have used it before, but you know. My son broke his leg and the army came to recruit. You've probably heard this one, you know. Is it good? Is it bad? We shall see. Be stoic. Right? Be stoic in all your endeavors. Is it good? Is it bad? Don't make an assessment on that. It doesn't matter. Right? That's what I would tell you to do. Be smart about what you do. Don't respond. Don't knee-jerk reaction. See where it goes. That'll get you far in life. Jay, what do you think? What's your life advice for a young man that thinks we're what we aren't? We're idiots that do a podcast.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with what you said, but you know, try to have fun with it. I mean, that's what boils down. Fishing is supposed to be fun, not some kind of battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a battle. You know, it's personal. It's a personal, what's the word I'm looking for, Steve? I'm
getting tired
here. Not endeavor, but well, it is. So,
well, I mean, if we're keeping it fishing, I have Kraken comes out, Titan comes out, Titan Jr., Kamikaze, I've worked with Big Norm. We've got the most popular fishing podcast. I got that. No one gives a shit.
Mm-mm.
No one. I can go to my local Walmart and scream in the produce aisle about everything I've done. No one gives a shit. Who cares? I don't give a shit.
It's fishing.
90% of my clients don't give a shit. Thank God. I don't think much of myself. The second that hubris and ego take over in your life is when things go poorly. If people don't like you, okay. If people love you, okay. Is it good? Is it bad? We shall see. Right? Because sometimes what you think is good is bad, and what you think is bad is good. That would be my life advice. You take what life gives you and you keep your chin up and you keep moving forward. And Connor, don't take advice from drunk musky fishing podcasters, my friend. However, if you must, my advice would be this. No one has ever been successful by being lazy. No one ever has been successful by giving up. Ever. That's it. Don't give up. Don't be lazy. If you're motivated and you wake up, I've been through highs, I've been through lows, right? There's Fred again, speaking of lows.
But your goals are your goals. They're not somebody else's. Don't compare yourself with what other people are posting.
Or you're, whether it be posting or fishing or you know, I mean, hell. Well, I'm not even talking musky fishing. Maybe you are, maybe not. Some guy's on Instagram, he's got a bad bitch. She might be a bitch. Right? The dude that has to show you what he's got ain't got shit. That's what's systemically wrong with society, in my opinion. Right? I don't want to get down this rabbit hole, but be secure in who you are. And if you don't give up and you work hard, you will always be successful, because the rest of your competition, the rest of your peers are lazy. Right? That would be it, man. I'm Jay, this is not a life advice podcast. I've had too many Pepsis here. But have some stoicism. Look it up. Marcus Aurelius or some other stuff. Sorry, down the rabbit hole of dumbness. But, you know, and when it comes to your fishing, it's the same thing. Who gives a shit? Whatever. You caught a big fish. Whoop-de-doo. Take that down to the local Rotary Club. They don't care. You know? It's one of my favorite things is this. I'll leave you with this. I had a moment, and there's not very many epiphanous moments in musky fishing, right? Al Frost. I'm out with Al Frost.
Mm-hmm.
And Al's a salty old bastard. Sorry. Pardon my French, but I've had a lot of drinks, and Al would not begrudge me for saying he's a salty old bastard. But Al Frost is a salty old bastard that works at the Muskie Shop and guides, and he's a hell of a guide. And he told me, he said he doesn't take pictures of fish anymore he catches. Right? And I thought, typical, like, whatever. He said, my mom's no longer with me, and she's the only one that would care for real. Everybody else would just want to see him and say good job or whatever. He said no one cares, and that hit me. I will never forget that statement, whether he meant it or not. It was a hell of a statement of it. No one really cares, you know. They're just going, that's not as big as you said it was, or it's bigger than you said it was, or great job. No one gives a shit. Everyone is self-absorbed, and everyone is focused on what they did or what they didn't do. And you share this with somebody, and they don't legitimately give a shit. And I went, that sort of gets around where it should be of, I did this, I enjoyed it, and therefore I was successful, and I don't need anybody else. And yeah. It changed a lot of the way I think, as far as the fishing thing. And that bodes to a lot of other things, you know. You bought a new car. Must you tell everybody? Who gives a shit? Nobody. I don't give a shit. I can buy five tomorrow. Maybe I can't buy five. Maybe I can buy none. Who gives a shit? Nobody. So
I ran across an interesting video the other day on TikTok or Instagram or something. Just this random thing. And it was this somebody's podcast, and he had these two young women on, and he said, okay, I got a question for you. What's the biggest turnoff for guys' photos that they use in dating apps?
Fish pictures. Gotta
yeah.
be.
And one woman goes, she didn't even hesitate. And this is not a fishing podcast.
No,
it was
no,
just something like... random that came up, right? She didn't even stamp. She goes, oh, guys holding fish.
That's
she
funny.
Said roughly 60% of the dating app photos, these guys who aren't, and you could tell,
right,
a lot of them weren't like avid, you know, over the top, super into it. Musky fishermen or bass fishermen or whatever it may be. They
fish.
Were just guys. And she's like, yeah, what is it with guys that are, you know, it's like, oh, and she said something like, you know, oh, you know, what a
I
big man,
know.
You know?
I mean, yeah.
So I thought that was really funny.
This is a holiday episode. We apologize. We're not talking musky. We're talking overarching societal things at this point. But I always found it interesting where I think probably I think about is musky fishing, which is painful. I think what is overarching in our sport is the amount of effort that it takes to be successful, right? Permeates into every other facet of your life, right? So it's this overarching thing of like, there's no separation. You have to be all in or all out. And no one gives a shit. You know, it's like, I remember before I was married, you'd tell somebody like, I'm a musky god. And I think girls would like in their head, Jay, they envision like the Gordon's fisherman, You know, you're this filthy guy. Like
they envisioned you chopping up chum on the side, like something from the movies Jaws or something like that. One of the old crusty guys with a big butcher knife and chopping chum and stinky. It was like, oh, what are you using for bait? You know?
Yeah, and you're like, you're a dirty, filthy, stinking yellow, rain gear wearing nasty ass. But it's just interesting. But Connor, please, for the love of God, don't listen to us for life advice. But
nope, not a good idea.
Probably the worst too. I drink too much and Jay's non-functional. So
that's true.
he's on the fun time spectrum. anyway, Jay. Well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Feliz Navidad.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I'm working my Spanish. Anyway, Happy New Year. We'll see you next week. Later.
Bye-bye.